It's 3.5 years since the tsunami struck Sri Lanka in the morning hours of December the 26, 2004. The giant waves that swept ashore along much of the island's coastline left over 36,000 people dead and displaced more than 500,000 people and affected the lives of 500,000 more. In the initial weeks following the tsunami, when Sri Lanka and other affected nations in Asia were bathed in the spotlight of the world's media with dramatic images of the death and destruction wrought by the waves, until other global news stories and natural disasters came along to grab the headlines. So since the attention of the world has moved on to other trouble spots, how has the reconstruction effort in Sri Lanka proceeded since then? And are the people there managing to rebuild their shattered lives? And is the resurgence of fighting between Sri Lankan government troops and separatist Tamil Tiger rebels impacting upon the situation? One person who saw with his own eyes the striking contrast between the scenes of utter devastation in the immediate aftermath of the tsunami and the current state of the reconstruction program in Sri Lanka is writer and photographer David Snyder, who carries out freelance projects for Catholic Relief Services and Caritas Internationalis. He recently returned to the island for the first time since his assignment there in the days following the tsunami and told me how things have changed in the intervening 3.5 years.
Sure. Well, the difference, you know, obviously is night and day from what it was when I was there just after the tsunami struck. You know, obviously, we all remember, you know, those images on television. The scale of that devastation was just incredible. So, having been there then and seen that, it was interesting to get the chance to go back now, years later, and see the reconstruction effort from roads to public buildings to private houses. Really, the construction, the reconstruction efforts have been just so widespread and so far-reaching. They've had just a tremendous impact there.
And what kind of contribution has the Catholic Church or organizations like Caritas and Catholic Relief Services played in this reconstruction effort?
Right, they've really been just fundamental to the reconstruction effort. Caritas, Catholic Relief Services, other groups as well, really stepped in literally from the hours after the tsunami struck to initially provide the kind of short-term emergency relief. I mean, obviously, in the days and weeks after, people needed food, they needed temporary shelter, they needed water, they needed the basic essentials. And then, you know, after that process kind of played out over weeks and months, you know, people started really turning their attention to the long-term reconstruction, and that's where CRS and Caritas really kind of excelled. I mean, I think so far they've built about 7,500 homes, and you figure an average family size there is about 5 or 6 people, so they've reached, you know, certainly tens of thousands of people with permanent, well-built, long-term shelter. So they've really been fundamental to the reconstruction effort there.
Are there still some outstanding problems, some people who are still not got a proper roof over their heads?
There are still a few. I mean, by and large now, you know, 3 years since the tsunami, the vast, vast majority of those who lost their homes are now, you know, resettled or are living in homes that have been rebuilt. There are a few thousand, people give you different figures. I've heard as many as 15,000, 10 to 15,000 who still don't have proper long-term homes, and there are various reasons for that. Some are still in debate about where they should be resettled. Maybe they were living too close to the coast. The government wants them to move back a little bit from the coast, and they're still trying to find areas to accommodate that.
When it comes to anecdotes, are there any heartwarming or poignant stories of people who have managed to rebuild their lives afterwards despite amazing odds?
I mean, for me, again, having flashing back to kind of when I was there afterwards, I mean, it's one of the things I remember most about my days in Sri Lanka immediately after the tsunami was just literally everyone you met who was alive had a story about being alive. That's literally the scale of this disaster. Every person you met had an amazing story about why they were alive. They climbed a tree. You know, their house was the only one in the entire neighborhood that survived the tsunami, and these kinds of stories. And so when I went back this time, you know, certainly I went with that in mind, and I spoke maybe not specifically anecdotally with individuals, but I remember, you know, having that in mind when I talked to so many of them. And, you know, I met one family who, in fact, it was a house that Caritas had rebuilt, and I spent a couple hours with that family And they now had about a 3.5-year-old child with them. He was the grandson of the woman, the beneficiary, and the whole family had been away inland that day to have the child christened the day that the tsunami hit. So they left their house, went inland, you know, a couple miles to have to a church to have the child christened. It was a Sunday, and then they came back and their house had been destroyed. But the entire family, all the relatives, had been inland when the child was christened. And so now they kind of look to this child as a miracle child of sorts, because they've, you know, they survived the tsunami essentially because that child drew them away that day.
Now, of course, in Sri Lanka, there's a civil war that's been raging since 1983 between the government troops and the Tamil Tiger or LTTT rebels. What about the plight of the displaced people on the island as a result of this conflict? This is a rather overlooked problem, isn't it?
It is indeed. I really think the world kind of doesn't know much at all about that conflict in Sri Lanka. And even I, who had been there before, had to kind of read up a little bit on it just to get a kind of a better understanding of the roots and history of the conflict. It's one of the things, especially in the areas of Batticloa out in the east, where a lot of people lost homes. It was a major scene of some of the major disaster area following the tsunami. And a lot of people who lost their homes to the tsunami have also been caught up in the fighting that's been happening since. There was a big resurgence in fighting in late 2006 and into early 2007. And since April 2007, 180,000 people were displaced by this fighting. So it is still an ongoing conflict. And as the government has been recently engaging these Tamil Tiger troops and forced them from the east, from the areas around Batticloa, and pushed them back up into smaller areas in the north of the country, and has kind of left in its wake this population of displaced people, a few of whom were still living in camps when I was there.
I was talking there to David Snyder, writer and photographer, who recently returned from Sri Lanka.